Welcome, Curious Minds, to another deep dive.
Great to be here.
Today we're heading to ancient Ethiopia, to a site called Tell Melhata.
Yes, a fascinating place.
And what's really put it on the map recently is, well, the unearthing of two remarkable ebony figurines found in a Christian burial ground there.
That's right, a really significant find.
So our mission, really, in this deep dive is to explore how these crucial artifacts aren't just, you know, beautiful objects.
Not at all.
But actually help illuminate the cultural and religious practices of ancient Ethiopian Christian communities.
Mm.
And maybe fundamentally reshape our understanding of early Christianity in this this really fascinating part of Africa.
Exactly. They offer such a unique perspective.
Yeah. And our source material for this journey comes from Christian Culture News. It provides a wealth of, well, historical and archaeological context.
It's a very useful source for this.
I think you'll find, like I did when I first started looking into this, that these ancient carvings offer some surprisingly fresh perspectives on a millennia-old faith. It's quite something.
It really is. Small objects, big stories.
So our journey into ancient Ethiopia begins, well, not with some grand monument, but actually with a small, quiet discovery. Deep within a Christian necropolis south of Tell Melhata, these two intricately carved ebony figurines, remarkably preserved. And what's immediately striking, I thought, is that carving in ebony isn't just some random artistic choice here.
No, definitely not really.
It's a profound tradition in Ethiopian art, often reserved for objects of, you know, deep religious meaning.
Absolutely. And that's what makes these figurines so immediately significant. They reflect not just the aesthetic sensibilities, you know, how things look,
right,
but also the spiritual beliefs of the community. Given that established tradition of using ebony for religious items,
yeah,
they very likely represent saints, maybe biblical figures. It gives us a direct kind of tangible insight into the devotional practices of the people who made them, who cherish them.
And what I found particularly striking about this discovery is, well, how it forces us to maybe rethink things a bit.
Okay.
Well, if we used to imagine these early Christian communities as maybe somewhat isolated, how do these tiny figurines kind of shatter that idea?
Yeah.
Suggesting maybe a bustling network of exchange.
That's precisely it. That's a great point. By examining the materials, the techniques, the iconography, researchers can now draw really powerful connections.
Connections between what and what?
Between Tell Melhata's own local traditions and these broader Christian influences that were clearly permeating the area, likely through, you know, extensive trade and cultural exchange across the region.
Oh.
It really changes how we see these communities interacting with each other and with the wider world around them.
So it paints a much more dynamic picture.
Absolutely.
Much more connected.
Okay, so to really appreciate the weight of this discovery, maybe we need to place Tell Melhata in its historical context.
Yes, definitely. Context is key here. Tell Melhata was strategically located right along ancient trade routes in what is now Ethiopia.
So for centuries, it was a genuine melting pot. Different cultures, different communities mixing. We have evidence showing continuous habitation right back to prehistoric times.
Wow, so long history.
A very long history. It highlights its enduring importance as a settlement.
And then Christianity comes into the picture.
Right. The region experienced a really transformative period around the 4th century AD. That's when Ethiopia formally embraced Christianity.
Okay.
And this huge shift was heavily influenced by figures like Frumentius. He's widely credited with establishing the Ethiopian Orthodox Church.
I see.
And you have to remember, the Aksumite Empire was a major power then, one of the ancient superpowers, really.
Yeah, Aksum.
Their embrace of Christianity didn't just boost trade, though it certainly did that. It also fundamentally guided the spiritual and social dynamics of communities within its sphere of influence, and that included Tell Melhata.
So Tell Melhata didn't just fade away after this initial conversion.
Not at all. It continued as a really significant focal point right through the medieval era.
Interesting.
It served as home to various Christian sects, actually, each one contributing to this rich tapestry of Ethiopian Christianity.
And we can see that physically.
Yes. The architectural remnants found there are a testament to this. They show a beautiful blend of indigenous styles and, well, foreign influences.
A real mix.
A real mix. And that robust trade during the Aksumite period, it just enhanced connectivity between Tell Melhata and other civilizations.
So it wasn't just goods moving back and forth.
Exactly. It meant a seamless flow of ideas, artistic styles, religious practices, all enriching the local culture in really profound ways.
Okay. So beyond their location and purpose, the actual material of these figurines, the ebony that holds immense significance too, doesn't it?
Absolutely, ebony. It's dense. It has that beautiful dark grain. It lasts. Its sheer aesthetic appeal made it a really prized medium for artisans in ancient Ethiopian societies.
Especially for important things.
Especially for objects designed to convey spiritual narratives, yes. These figurines, they often depicted deities, saints, significant cultural symbols. They served not just as art, but as focal points for worship, for ritualistic practices.
So quite central to their lives.
It suggests they were vital in the daily lives of the people, yeah. Fostering a strong sense of community around shared beliefs and really fostering religious expression.
And you mentioned earlier the blending of styles.
Yes. What's truly fascinating here is how these figurines really underscore that fusion. African artistic traditions mixing with external influences.
How can you tell?
Well, you can see it in the designs. They incorporate diverse motifs and styles. For instance, you might find distinct traditional geometric patterns from the region,
okay,
interwoven with early Christian symbols, like maybe the Alpha and Omega, or specific cross designs.
Oh, I see.
This points directly to syncretism in Ethiopian history. That's that fascinating blend where local customs, local artistic expressions were maintained and adapted even as new beliefs were adopted. It created a truly unique spiritual landscape.
So, okay, what does this all mean for understanding the presence of Ethiopian culture specifically in this region?
Well, the stylistic characteristics of these figurines, they strongly suggest a deep Ethiopian art influence and deeper cultural integration within the local Christian practices.
So it's more than just, say, trade goods passing through. It's a real blending.
It looks like it, yes. A profound blending. And we actually have archaeological evidence beyond just the figurines to support this.
Like what?
Things like pottery fragments, coins, even inscriptions that are linked directly to the Aksumite Empire. They've been unearthed right there in the vicinity.
Okay.
So this establishes a clear context for regular exchanges, whether that was through trade, migration, maybe pilgrimage, between the Aksumite heartland and the people living at Tel Mahada. It fostered that rich tapestry of cultural amalgamation you mentioned earlier.
And the symbols on the figurines themselves.
Right. The use of specific ecclesiastical symbols, things like the distinct Ethiopian cross, various representations of saints found right with these carvings, that further cements that direct Ethiopian Christian contribution to the local religious landscape.
Mm.
This really prompts us to consider, you know, the fluidity of identity within these ancient communities.
Also,
it shows that the early Christian narrative in the region wasn't some singular homogeneous experience. It was much more a complex interplay of various cultural influences, constantly adapting and evolving over time.
It's quite dynamic.
Very. It's a testament, really, to how adaptable and maybe open to influence these ancient societies were.
Okay, let's shift focus a bit, turning our attention to the rigor of archaeology itself. How were these discoveries actually made? And what challenges did the team face on the ground? It can't have been easy.
No, archaeological work always has its challenges. The excavation employed systematic surveys, heavily relying on geospatial tech like GPS mapping.
For accuracy.
For incredibly accurate documentation, yes. And this was followed by stratigraphic excavation techniques.
Which means?
Think of it like peeling back the layers of an onion. Each layer tells a different story about a different time period. Layer by layer analysis.
Got it. And were there specific challenges with these figurines?
Dating them, the ebony figurines, that posed notable challenges. Wood can be tricky to precisely date from such ancient periods.
Right.
So to overcome this, they combined carbon dating, which gives you a range, with something called typological analysis.
Typological.
Yeah, it's essentially classifying items based on their styles, motifs, materials. You compare them to similar objects that have already been dated from known periods.
Ah, okay. Cross-referencing.
Exactly. This multifaceted approach greatly enhances the reliability of the chronological framework they established for Tel Mahada.
Makes sense. Any other difficulties?
Well, preserving the delicate ebony itself, once it was unearthed, that was a significant difficulty.
Even though ebony is dense.
Yes. Despite its density, it can become quite fragile after millennia underground. It needs immediate stabilization measures to prevent it from deteriorating, falling apart, basically.
Wow. It makes you think about all the unseen battles archaeologists fight after a discovery, doesn't it?
It really does. It's not just the digging. It's the race against time and the elements afterwards.
Yeah.
And furthermore, contextualizing the findings within the wider archaeological landscape is crucial. You need to understand how these figurines relate to other artifacts, other historical narratives. That provides a much more comprehensive insight into the cultural practices, the beliefs of these ancient communities.
Right, the bigger picture.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, let's delve into the concept of necropolises themselves. They're often called cities of the dead, which is quite evocative.
It is.
They play a truly crucial role in archaeological research, don't they? Offering these invaluable insights into social, cultural, religious dynamics.
Absolutely. These burial sites are incredibly rich repositories. You find artifacts, skeletal remains, burial practices, all illuminating the lives and beliefs of individuals from past civilizations.
And in the case of Tell Malhada, this specific Christian necropolis,
yeah.
How does it help us understand these early Ethiopian Christian communities?
Well, it's emerged as a real focal point. It contains a diverse range of burial types, for one thing.
Okay.
And it perfectly reflects that unique confluence, that mix of indigenous beliefs and foreign influences that characterized the region during the early Christian era.
So the blend is visible, even in how they buried people.
Exactly. The discoveries here, including our ebony figurines, they truly highlight the artistic expressions and the ritualistic practices that were integral to that community's identity.
And if we zoom out a bit, what can necropolises tell us more broadly?
Well, zooming out, necropolises allow researchers to trace the evolution of religious practices and even socio-political relationships over time. For instance, variations in burial customs, how elaborate they are, what's buried with the person can signal shifts in social hierarchy, or maybe migration patterns, or the introduction of new belief systems.
I see.
So comparing findings from Tell Malhada with other contemporary necropolises across Ethiopia that can yield deeper understandings of regional interactions, how Christian doctrine developed in the area, it helps paint that broader picture of early Christian communities.
Okay, looking ahead then, the discovery of these ebony figurines, it feels like it presents a remarkable opportunity. What's next for Tell Malhada? What are the future research directions?
Yeah, there's definitely more to do. One primary direction is simply conducting additional excavations at the necropolis itself.
To find more.
To potentially uncover more artifacts, maybe structures or different burial practices from the period. There's likely more there.
And what about analyzing what's already found?
That's another promising avenue, yes. Comprehensive analysis of all the cultural artifacts, not just these figurines. Mm. Such artifacts could reveal significant aspects of daily life, artistic expression, religious beliefs among these early Christians in Ethiopia that we don't currently grasp. Material analysis, for example, might even yield information on ancient trade networks we didn't know existed.
Fascinating.
And crucially, collaboration is key. Working with specialists in various disciplines, art history, anthropology, religious studies that will enhance our understanding and, you know, allow for reinterpretation of these findings as new methods develop.
So bringing different experts together.
Exactly. It's vital that this interdisciplinary collaboration continues. And that includes engaging with local historians, archaeologists, cultural heritage specialists in Ethiopia.
Why is that local connection important?
It fosters a more holistic view of the past, and it's essential for properly documenting findings, not just for academic circles, but for the general public too, making sure this knowledge is shared widely and respectfully.
Right. So the core takeaway then from the discovery of these ebony figurines from Tell Malhada, it isn't just that ancient Ethiopians made beautiful art, although they clearly did.
No, it's more than that.
It's that their art itself was a powerful tool for cultural blending, for religious expression in what seems like a truly interconnected ancient world.
Well put. This discovery represents a truly significant archaeological milestone. It provides a tangible connection to the past,
mm-hmm.
and highlights this beautiful blend of local artistry and external influences.
It really underscores the role of art in religious expression and the adaptability of these communities.
Absolutely. And continuing the archaeological research at Tell Malhada is just vital if we want to fully unravel these historical narratives.
Still more to learn.
Oh, definitely. Every new discovery adds another thread to this incredibly rich tapestry. Further findings could genuinely reshape our understanding of ancient Ethiopian Christianity and its development. We're just scratching the surface in some ways.
So, as you, our listeners, go about your day, maybe consider this thought. These small, intricate carvings from centuries ago, they don't just tell us about devotion in one specific ancient community.
Mm-hmm.
They also serve as a powerful reminder, I think, of how resilient cultural identity can be. how it can adapt, merge with new beliefs, but still retain its own unique artistic voice across millennia. It's quite profound, really.
It really is a connection across time.